Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We're on a new month. It's like the 4th
of March. My birthday month.
Oh yeah, what's your birthday?
March 20th.
Oh,
I don't usually say that because the gifts start rolling in, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you get inundated.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, I'm gonna be gonna be 49.
Huh. One more year before they hit the big one.
And do I get my AARP card then, or is it 50?
Yeah, I think 55 is when you want to get.
That's
that
good
card.
Because I may end it before then. You know,
you can walk over. Apparently, the play offices are in Florida.
Really? Oh yeah. Well, it's every other block.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of, you know, we had some really interesting market action this week. Of course, Putin, boy, was I had some great, I thought it was funny. I was laughing. I tweeted all sorts of funny things about Putin, you know, the whole thing. We'll get into that in a second of what he did. But I wanted to, I saw a news item come up tonight after the close, and it kind of described the market in a nutshell, I thought. And it was Bob Evans, you know, the eatery. Do you ever go there?
Never, ever.
Really? You do like a Piccadilly?
Yeah, we don't have Bob Evans around here.
Oh. But you do have
I've seen him.
Jack in the Box.
Yes, we have Jack in the Box. Yeah. We have Wendy's. We have all those sorts of places.
We don't have Jack in the Box. We don't have White Castle. I called up White Castle one time, by the way, and I told him I have a fantastic location for a White Castle, and I was looking to do a franchise.
No.
They said, well, where is it? I said, well, tell me about your franchises. I said, oh, where do you think you'd put it? They said to me. I said, well, tell me about your franchise. We don't franchise. It's family-owned, and we only have family-owned / corporate restaurants.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I'm not telling you where I was going to put it then.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. I will tell you it was on South Beach.
Really put a crystal there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but yeah, you know. What's the
difference between a crystal and a White Castle? Can somebody explain this to me?
I don't think there's much, but I prefer, if I was going to eat it, the White Castle. I've had both. We used to play a game, a bunch of my friends and I, we'd get 100 White Castle burgers, one with no ketchup. We put $5 into a pot. So let's say we had five guys, six guys, you know, $30. Whoever got the one without ketchup wins.
I thought there was no ketchup on a White Castle.
No, they have ketchup, a little schmazzy on it. Anyway, the market's in a nutshell. Bob Evans misses by 23 cents, misses on revenue, guides fiscal 2014 earnings below consensus, guides fiscal 15 EPS in line, however they're doing that, and announces $100 million share buyback. That's the market. Companies miss, and they get a reprieve because they're buying back all their shares. Companies make, and they do well. They beat by a couple for whatever reason, because maybe they cut expenses, and even though the revenues are lower, it's okay. Even if they guide below.
If this keeps going this way, there'll be no equity at all to get in on.
Right, we'll be fighting over the one Bob Evans share.
The one share. They'll be bid way up.
But that's essentially, by the way, that's what it is if you think about it, right? When they take back shares, liquidity is less, the EPS goes up. And really, it's like you're fighting over less shares. That's why prices go up when you have all these buybacks.
Yeah. Hello. I mean, this has been your, since we started doing the show a few years back.
Yep.
This has been your theme. And what have we learned from it? We should be recommending these stocks. Sounds like Bob Evans is a buy.
Exactly. There is actually who was it? I had a gentleman on recently. A couple of weeks ago, I had somebody on my podcast, and he was talking about a fund that he has. He started an ETF, and the ETF only buys stocks that do significant buybacks. And he's shown that over time, those outperform other stocks.
Huh.
What do you think about that?
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's done well. It appears now that we have a synchronization of news and cover on anything that disrupts markets. And all this is coming together very nicely. For example, we've had a few things that we'll talk about with Putin and Ukraine, but today at about 1 or 2 o'clock, there was an announcement that came across the wire, and it was questionable whether it was true or not, that Russia Test launched and
did you say launched?
Launched, yeah, they launched it. It's a combination of laundry and launched. They launched a missile, an intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM. Okay. And the markets got a little bit nervous about that, you know? It seems like Mr. Putin is playing with all sorts of war games. Well, about an hour later, after the market started coming in pretty good compared to where it was, the U.S. said, oh, yeah, but we knew about that ahead of time. It's okay. This is something that's been, you know, approved. So anything that seems to have this disruption, we seem to see the other side. And this is on the heels of course, the big joke. You see the big joke this week by Putin? He's got some sense of humor, this guy.
What?
Well, he invades the Ukraine, and then he says a couple days later, well, come on, you know, it was a war exercise. It was war. It really wasn't, you know, necessarily an invasion, and we're kind of pulling out. It really was not what you think it was. And
okay.
He pulls out.
Yeah.
Backs up the troops.
And?
Markets screamed higher. The Russian market.
Maybe went long?
Well, here's what I think they did. This is perfect. This is the Putin plan. So what he did was he went short. And he bought the VIX, and then he did this invasion, and then said, hey, only kidding, covered his positions and went long.
Pick up a few bucks. It's funny you say that.
Oh? Why?
There's no reason in the world why some of these guys don't do that.
I don't see why. I mean, there's a second part of the joke.
If you know, look, let's say you're in the Putin cabinet or the insiders or there's wife, who knows. And he tells you what he's going to do. He says, well, what are we going to do about this? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run a bunch of troops around like crazy and then let people bitch and moan. Let this market drop and then we'll pull them out and say, which was just an exercise, no big deal. You guys short it and then get in, go long right at the bottom. Well, I'll give you an hour's warning.
Right.
Why not?
Maybe there's more to this, by the way. Maybe he pulls out, and the second part of the joke is that now, with that, the international community is coming to the aid of the Ukraine, promising billions of dollars to the Ukraine. And maybe right now Putin's going to go back and actually go back in and take that money, too.
I don't think so. I think what – I mean, that's funnier, but I don't think they're going to go that way. I think what they're going to do is that they just got off the hook for $15 billion. And they let the Ukraine, you know, let the EU eat it because the Ukrainians are, you know, you have to remember that we got a lot of notes for the No Agenda show on this. We'll probably be discussing it on Thursday. But the Ukrainians, they have about one third the average income of a typical Russian. It's a poor country.
Right. Very poor.
Very poor country. People don't think so, you know, that so much, but it's a really poor country. And the Russians, if they owned the Ukraine or the Ukraine, it's not the Ukraine, it's Ukraine. It would hurt them financially, economically. They don't really want the burden. I mean, this would be far worse than the Germans, you know, sucking up East Germany and having to eat that. This is big. So they just as soon get off the hook and let the EU, as long as they keep that gas thing going and as long as they have a little angle with the gas fields that they've discovered there, I think they'd be happy as a clam. Now,
right,
there's another element to this that it's got nothing to do with the stock market, but we're going to talk about it on the Thursday No Agenda show.
Well,
it's Crimea. Crimea's uh-huh. got some. Yeah,
that's even smaller.
Yeah, it's just a little operation.
Well, the other thing is the port. Of course, they need that port for the military and all that, and Putin's not going to give that up.
No.
So I think that it's kind of a, you know, I think Putin is basically saying, here's the deal: we'll either lease the ports from you, or we'll lease the ports from you. That's your choice.
Yeah, well, they need the money. They're not going to not lease the ports to them. Who else wants them?
Even if they didn't need the money, Russia needs those ports.
Yes, that's true. So they can gouge the Russians a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. Russia's fine with that, and especially all the money they made in the last couple of days. Well, actually, there was a lot of money that was lost. The Russian market dropped about 13%. They had to raise their interest rates substantially. As a matter of fact, on Monday, now the U.S. didn't have that big of a sell-off, but in Europe, emerging markets, and in Russia, there was a big sell-off. The world's 300 wealthiest people lost a combined $44.5 billion as the global stocks tumbled. And the ruble dropped to an all-time low as this was all going on. So what was really fascinating about it was that during the day on Monday, when markets sold off around the world, the U.S. market sold off early on, came back towards the end a bit. And at the same time, there was almost a point during the day, even though things were a little bit dicey, that the small caps, the small cap stocks in the U.S. were actually close to being, you know, zero even, which is really interesting. That's usually what we call a risk on trade when the small caps are moving. Today, the small caps are one of the best days they had in years. They're up like 3%. And what was really fascinating was that all of the losses from the Friday afternoon, when the markets came back in a little bit towards the end of the day on Friday, and the losses on Monday in the U.S. were totally wiped out with the gain compared to the gains that they made today. We had a 1.5% move on the S&P. And it was almost like, you know, you can't have more than, you know, two down days, and you can't have a crisis that lasts very long. And right now, corrections are in hours rather than in weeks. And seriously, everything's getting more compressed, you know? And it's almost like the fact that the Russians pulled out, it was like the end of a multi-year massive global war that was going on, and this gigantic relief rally from yesterday to today. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And markets around the world just moved up dramatically, and we'll see. I mean, then you get this news. Now, I think there's going to be continuation of a lot of weird rumors and news that comes out over the next several days and maybe even weeks. This thing is not over. It'd be amazing if it was over a weekend, this whole thing. And don't forget, you have massive issues in Nigeria. You have a lot of disruption and people being killed there. You have Thailand. All sorts of protests and problems there.
Yeah, no, there's world crap going everywhere. I don't think this is over either, but I don't think it's going to be the top of the news. I think it's going to be essentially over insofar as the American public's concerned.
Yeah. Well, the Obama administration this evening said that they're going to be planning to impose punitive economic sanctions on Russia.
They're not doing that. It's bull crap. It's a bluff.
Yeah, it is, because already they're facing resistance. You know, this is all, hey, we're really going to do something. Hey, by the way, hold me back. Hold me back. You know, I'm going to get that guy. Hold me back. And then, you know, this way that nothing happens, but we could at least squawk a little bit and sound like we're doing something.
Right.
You know, but the big question I was thinking about today, but the big issue was, you know, why are stocks moving so quickly? Like, this seems to be a desperation.
Yeah, this bothers me, too. I know exactly what you mean. You can sense it.
Yeah, it's like, what is going on? Like, why are we seeing stocks when they move? You're seeing, you know, a drop a bit on some of them, but then you're seeing...
It's almost like a panic buy.
Yeah.
But why would you have a panic buy? These are stocks are not at their lows. We're not at the end of a bear market where all of a sudden the market's going to take off like a rocket.
Well, I think what it is, I mean, even look at some of the stocks that missed. Like, for example, yesterday, Nu Skin came out with some earnings, and it was a little disappointing. It was down 11%. It's up almost 5.5% today. I mean, you know, that's a big move back. Like, who was selling? What was going on? Two things. First, I don't think there's a lot of sellers. I think people are holding on to what they have. Therefore, if there's not a lot of sellers, those buyers are going to be bidding the prices up dramatically. In fact, that's why on low volume days, you're seeing that prices move up pretty strongly. Because if people are not selling, there's, again, less shares available to be really had, and you have to pay a premium for them, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, I've been thinking about this. You know, when we had the stimulus originally, it was to fill a gigantic gaping hole in the banking and financial and real estate markets and all that, right? And it was meant to prop up whatever was going on and low interest rates and then the bond buying and all this. Then we did it again, and it had less of an effect on markets and more, even less effect on the economy. And whether or not it's having an effect right now, you could probably say that, well, a lot of things have slowed down recently, even though unemployment is looking better. But the incredibly low rate of interest that we have outstanding right now with the Fed, and the fact they're still buying $65 billion of bonds per month, you know, you got to wonder how much effect that really is having on the economy. But we are to a point where the economy has essentially healed to a great degree, and they're still pouring all this money in. Therefore, it seems to me that the money that is being pumped in is going directly into, it's sort of over the top, over the brim, filling up the holes. And now it's moving right into equity markets and various other assets. In fact, if you looked at commodities this year, now we had some problems like the cold snap, so natural gas moved up. You had the issue with Nigeria, you had the issue with Russia, and so oil moved up a bit. But you also saw like hogs are at an all-time high, I believe, and you see that you know, corn prices and wheat prices really moved up yesterday. There's some issues there with the whole Russian region. But commodities are the second best asset class out of the majors this year. And that often happens with inflationary environments and excess money and all that. Although copper's not doing well, I will tell you that. But I think what's happening is it is, in fact, and I haven't said this in a very, very long time, this particular word. I talked about valuation a lot. I think that what's happening now is that the stimulus is starting to create a artificial bubble in pricing. That it's over the top now and starting to spill over. So there you have it.
It's possible.
There you have it.
I think that and, you know, we're still a safe haven and the rest of the world's going to, you know, it looks like it's going to crap.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, you do see a lot of money coming into the U.S. And even though the dollar's been coming down a bit recently, the last several days it moved back up.
The dollar... The dollar, actually, the price of the dollar is probably encouraging this to some extent because it's over, it costs too much. I mean, it's an expensive product compared to Europe's euro.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like a 30% discount when you buy American.
Right. And even the euro dropped over the last couple of days. I mean, you got a nice move up. I mean, you had the last couple of days. If you were going long the U.S., I mean, the last couple of days, the markets dropped, but not that much. The dollar came up a bit, so you kind of didn't lose money. And like you said, I mean, the foreign money that's coming into the U.S. is pretty significant, especially with the problems they're seeing in China. They slowed down.
$1.37 is pretty, you know, substantial.
Yeah. Well, it was even higher before.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be this high at all.
Yeah.
But it just encourages more investment.
Yep. A couple of news items. Retailer Radio Shack, one of your favorites.
Yeah, that's kind of bothersome.
Closing 1,100 stores. We knew they were closing a bunch, but they're closing a bunch more, it seems. They had a wider-than-expected quarterly loss, and the stock was down somewhere about 20% at one point and kind of popped up a little bit. But they are closing. I mean, the fact of the matter is that these days with online, I mean, you even said it. I mean, you used to go there for little parts and gadgets and things and little wires and cables.
I still go there.
But you don't have to. You can get it quickly delivered from anywhere for the same price in a day.
Not if I need it now.
If you need it now, it's a different story. I agree.
You know, the problem is, like, for example, I needed to get a, the thing that's breaking Radio Shack, just curiously, are these connectors. If you need to get a mini HDMI, there's a micro HDMI, then there's a converter from a full-sized HDMI to a mini HDMI, and there's female to female and male to male and female to male. It's like it's a nightmare. And sometimes you actually have to go online and look at all the options to figure out what kind of connector adapter you want. And Radio Shack they have a lot, I have to say, because I was over there trying to get something and they had it. But they don't have everything. And it's like, I don't know what the deal is, but
I think
a little too high.
I think what really was the death knell to them was the expansion of selling phones.
Maybe.
I don't think that was a real moneymaker for them. I mean, there's too many middlemen involved. They still, you know, they're going to get a piece of the action, but the phone companies really have that tied up, or you can buy it anywhere these days. And
I think they should have stayed in the computer game a little longer.
That would have been better.
Because they could sell, probably pick up a little few points on margin because they have a brand name, so they wouldn't be selling white boxes for nothing. And they've got lots of outlets and people can pick something up. And then the accessories at that point, that's when you can gouge the customer.
Right.
I don't know.
Yep,
I don't know. There's a million problems. I have always thought they were a buyout candidate.
But who's going to buy them? I mean, who?
I think Microsoft could have bought them.
Well, if they had the computers in there and they had a computer showroom that was nice, that would have been a great shoe-in right there. Microsoft could have opened them up as, you know, like FedEx Kinko's, like they did that.
Yeah.
Could have had a Microsoft store.
Yeah.
With computer junk.
Yeah.
And Microsoft computers.
Right. Or the Surface and all the rest of the crap.
You know, by the way, I was thinking about ditching my iPad for a Windows 8 something or other.
Why?
Well, I was thinking about it because I have an iPad, an iPhone, and I have a computer, a Mac computer, but I use it for Windows. And lately, even though it's a pretty fast Mac laptop with all the memory you can put in there, and I think it's an i7 processor, the Windows side is just dogging. I tried every setting, and I called VMware, and I spoke to them, and it's just a problem. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll just combine it and just get a Windows device that can be a tablet, and it can be the straight-up Windows, though, so I use the Pro version of it. And this way I have a computer and a tablet all in one. I don't have to deal with it. I'll give up some of the apps, but I won't need the apps because I can go right on and use my stuff right online. Bad idea?
All right.
Bad idea?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's not the way I do things. Yeah, I have
keyboard too. Yeah.
I'm all Windows. I do have a Mac, but I don't use it. I'm all Windows, and I use a laptop when I want a laptop, and then when I want a portable device, I use a phone.
Right.
So I have a couple of tablets laying around. The only tablet I actually use more than occasionally is the Kindle book reader.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Paperwhite book reader. You can really read fast.
Mm-hmm. Very fast.
But so I never went with the iPad. I do have these other devices, and they're always just sitting around. And when I boot them up, I end up playing Angry Birds, or something. It's just I don't find them useful.
Yeah, I find them good for consumption, but that's about it. And I'll see. Maybe I'll try one out, but we'll see. TiVo, your favorite guy is out. The board's been kind of thrown around, and Phil Frost is gone.
You know, I thought this last product they came out with was a tour de force.
Really?
Even though I don't have one to play with. The TiVo that...
No, I'm talking about TiVa. TiVa.
Oh, TiVa.
The pharmaceutical that you own, Opco.
Oh, TiVa. That's my stock.
Yeah, your stock. Phil Frost is
Frost
out.
Frost is gone?
Yeah, it seems he's out. I was just reading about that.
Well, I was... Huh.
But he's not out of your stock. He's just, he's not out of the Opco. He's out of TiVa. The board was a bit of a shakeup there.
That means a deal didn't go through that they were planning.
Yeah, well, we think they were planning, right?
Well, we think they were planning. We don't know what they were doing.
But your stock is doing great. We'll get to that soon. I mean, it's up pretty good.
Hmm.
Really good, as a matter of fact.
After the guy left, it went up?
It's been going up, yeah. Maybe he's fed up with that and just went back to buying the Opco again. Try a different deal.
Anyway, I was talking about TiVo.
Oh, TiVo. Okay, I got you there.
Yeah, I think that they have a tiger by the tail with their new product.
Why?
I don't know. It's one of these things, it just does a lot. It's better than everything else out there in terms of like a DVR, and everybody uses DVRs to an extreme. And it only dawned on me recently that when you have Comcast, I think I mentioned this already somewhere, you don't have to use any of the Comcast stuff. You have to pay for that. Every time if you have a Comcast cable modem, you're paying monthly fees on that modem.
Mm-hmm.
You can ditch the modem and put a Motorola on there. You can go buy it from Amazon at a good price. It's a better modem, and you're not paying. Now you're recovered whatever that fee was on a monthly basis. It turns out to pay for itself in about a year and a half. And the same thing with the box. All the stuff that you get is just kind of leased to you in some funny way, roundabout way, and you can get a discount if you don't use it. It just seems to me that...
So wait, you put TiVo right on top of it?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay.
I don't understand...
What's wrong with the Comcast system of recording?
It costs money.
Oh, you're saying that you don't have to get their whole Comcast system with the box. I gotcha. So it's like an open cable because you're getting the flow through. So kind of like using AOL versus...
Yeah, unless somebody corrects me, I could be wrong, but it makes no sense if I am.
Mm-hmm.
The TiVo device would covers all the bases.
Mm, interesting. And then you probably can use some of their apps for that, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Speaking of apps, there's a new app coming on. This is kind of a little segue into a different area, but I thought this was pretty cool. It's now available for Google and Google Play for the Android. It's called the Bro app.
Yeah, I looked at this.
Isn't this great?
Yeah, if you're really lazy.
Oh, this is great. So what it does, this Bro app, is... It's at broapp.net. You got to just watch the video. Basically, what it does is you can put in all sorts of pre-programmed I love yous and how are you, kitty, and what's up, snuggles, and send all these at random times to your girl. And the app is smart enough to know that if your phone is in specific place, for example, if you are, it does a geolocation, if you're in your girlfriend's house or you're in your own home, or if you're in the same vicinity as your girl or whatever it may be, it knows not to send these things. So that it you know, you could be looking like a king by sending these little, I love you and
yeah, I miss stuff. You, thinking yeah. of you.
Right. That you pre-program just have sent out randomly.
Yeah, this is so, the sincerity of this thing is unbelievable.
You gotta love it, though.
The first thing the women should do is go search for this and see if the guy's using
you
it.
You can't. It's hidden. Him. It's hidden. They hide it. It's a special way of hiding it so nobody knows that you have it. Hmm. Hey, they thought of everything here.
Yeah, these are douchebags, obviously.
Now, for the really odd story of the evening, Facebook is said to be in talks to buy flying drone maker Titan Aerospace for about $60 million. And they're interested in using these drones to spread internet access, the nice fellas that they are. Following the acquisition, they supposedly is going to be production to be planned for use with this internet.org project, which is to spread the internet throughout the world for the 5 billion people that don't have it. Now, obviously, when they do that, what do they get? Well, they can use Facebook then, and hey, how great is that? You have more people on there. I don't understand how this drone thing, what does it do? It just hovers?
It makes no sense.
You get a drone. I mean, just let's talk about the functionality and the technology here. You got a drone, and you send this drone, and what is it? Maybe it has some kind of a receiver from a satellite, and then it does some kind of a wireless beam of Wi-Fi or some kind of a I don't get it.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look at the papers on it. I don't know. It doesn't sound workable to me.
You know, especially if you have a drone and it has to maybe refill for fuel. Then you don't have. Hey, you're in the blackout time for the refill.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't even understand how it actually works. I mean, I get it, but it doesn't. You have all these little buggers flying around all the place. I don't know. But anyway, I think it's kind of it's strange, but interesting. And also, you'll have some probable issues with airspace issues, and strange, very odd. You know, doesn't Google have the balloon?
Yeah, I think they gave up on the balloon.
They gave up on the internet balloon.
Yeah, they're going for all. They're just in the cable thing, fiber. Fiber.
Well, I'd like to see how this works. It may be just a toy. Maybe he just wants to have these little toys, you know, to get. And then you got issues of spying, and you know, NSA will probably tap right into those buggers, you know. And then privacy issues with I don't know. You know, it just seems very odd to me. But and speaking about gadgets and crazy things, you know, we talked about the smart wig. Remember that?
The smart wig.
Yeah, remember the smart wig? And yeah. We, of course, have Google Glass, which is, you know, the whole thing going on there with Google Glass. And you have the smart watch now, right? Which is kind of not that smart because you have to actually tether it a bit and all these crazy things. Well, a Japanese startup is designing a smart ring. And what you do with the smart ring is, because has a like a gyroscope going on and all that, so you could trace a dollar sign in the air and pay for your coffee.
No, please.
Write TV with your finger and your television set turns on. You charge a subway fare by, I don't know, maybe pretending to throw a coin. I don't know what else that could be. I mean, maybe if you want to, put up your middle finger, maybe, and you text the driver next to you how bad of a driver he is or something. And, I don't know what else can be done with this concept of a ring. It's almost like the Microsoft, what is that called? You know, they have on the Xbox 360, the thing that, you know, you can play games with it. By moving your hands and driving. I always thought that was really weird.
Yeah, the Kinect.
I always thought it was really weird. You're driving a car and you're just holding a wheel, you know, an invisible wheel. It seems uncomfortable to me that you don't actually have something.
Seems like you're 5 years old to me.
Me?
No, that's what it seems like.
Well, I'm 5 years old too. But, you know, they have that going on and you can, you know, do the dance game in front of there and play all sorts of funny games. I mean, this all started way back with, was it Nintendo or was it Nintendo or PlayStation that had the exercise machines?
That's Nintendo, I believe.
That was a good idea. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that lasted. we have all that stuff.
Do you have all that stuff?
Yeah, there's a little, there's a thing you jump up and down on, and that's supposed to do something, and it actually is a scale too. It weighs you.
Oh, do you use it?
No.
Yeah, my wife.
You have to hook it up to the thing, and it's like, you know, it just doesn't. It's just impractical.
Yeah, my wife wanted to get one of those step things, the step machines. So we bought it. I said, don't buy it. Please don't buy it. It's just going to end up being a coat hanger. I mean, really, just don't buy it. She bought it, and I'm not even kidding. It was a coat hanger for a long time. Yeah. And we finally, Craigslist, we finally, somebody.
Put it in your office and hang all the cables off of it. Oh, you know, different kinds of cables.
It's Or you can get the, what was the thing for a while? There was the pedals under your desk that would charge your computer, so you had to keep pedaling.
Well, the latest thing is to have a standing desk and then be running on a treadmill. That's like a big deal, by the way.
What's the deal about the standing desk? You got to have a standing desk.
Jefferson used them. The Secretary of Defense, what's his name, that was started the Iraq War, used one.
Yeah, he used it because he was all pissed off.
They're supposed to be better for your legs.
He was probably aggravated and tired, and he just decided to start that war. I mean, I would think that, what do you get, a bar stool to sit on every once in a while?
No, you don't sit. If you're going to sit down, you go sit down on a chair.
So you got to get maybe a standing desk that will also be a sitting desk, one of those that will change
height. That's the way to go. They have the desk. I think it goes down to normal, and then it's electric.
Maybe it's good. I mean, I've been getting like a problem in my arm, like carpal tunnel. Maybe it would get rid of that.
Might.
I have a big desk. It's going to be a lot of desks. Where
are you getting carpal tunnel from?
I don't know, but I changed. This is really kind of crazy. I was freaking out because I really was having a problem last week. So I went out and I bought a new mouse that I found that was ergonomic and all this. It's like you handshake.
Where does it hurt?
My forearm and my wrist, and then also a little bit of the top of my arm was hurting. I was getting
shoulder?
No shoulder.
Well, that's a plus.
But I bought a mouse. Actually, it helped. I'm not even kidding about this. It really did. I changed the positioning of my chair, my desk, and my keyboard because I was kind of reaching a bit. And I type and I do stuff all day. And this is a mouse that you kind of, instead of putting your hand flat on it, you turn it like you're shaking hands with somebody. And that's how you hold it. And your pinky and your ring finger.
Once you get a track point keyboard, that'll end the problem immediately.
Track point with a little thing in the middle of you?
Yeah.
That's so hard to operate.
No. Yeah, when you first get a hold of it, but within a day, you're dynamite with it.
Really?
Yeah. I've been using them for years. I don't use a mouse.
I'll look at that. This is kind of interesting. It helped a bit because you're holding it. It's odd to get used to, though. It's this big old thing sitting on your desk. You know, you're kind of like twisting your wrist on, but it's much better because you're much in a neutral positioning. But right now it feels better. This week it's not hurting at all. I mean, last week, before I got this mouse, it was killing me. And this week I'm doing my thing and all that. And it took me a little while to get used to the mouse, but it's working. Let's see. Money-making tip. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so let's just talk about Bitcoin for a second. There's some interesting things that happened. I don't know if we talked about... Did they go bankrupt last week?
That's my understanding.
All right, did we talk about it, though?
We mentioned that they collapsed. We didn't talk about the bankruptcy, per se.
There's a bankruptcy. They're saying that... somehow they lost $480 million worth of bitcoins.
How does that work?
Well, their encryption was a problem. And I have a Coinbase account. And we have a Coinbase account, I should say, okay, which has not much in there. But I was getting these emails daily, maybe 15 or 20 emails at a clip saying you just received 0.000001 Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. It doesn't add up too much. But I'm thinking maybe somebody, I don't know who, was draining these other accounts and throwing into other accounts for people.
Maybe.
I mean, it's kind of a little bit at a time here. But they seem to have lost $480 million worth of Bitcoins. And what was really interesting is that there is talk that this is actually good for the industry. Now, one of the things is that the consortium,
How does that work?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these other Bitcoin companies are all together in a grouping of some sort, maybe some kind of consortium or business group or something, okay? But these guys weren't. Now, I wonder if this was some kind of a situation, while it would hurt them initially to get rid of them because they weren't in the grouping of sorts, but supposedly it's going to help because, I mean, this is the twist, that it's going to help with security and an understanding of where the holes are. So it only cost people $480 million. But what I think is really interesting is...
Cheap lesson.
Yeah, really. Who knows how, you know, why people had and how much they had in this deal. But that's a lot of money for when you consider the amount of the Bitcoin market. It's a lot of bank. And this is, by the way,
one of the top operations.
And this is, by the way, when the whole idea with Bitcoin was it couldn't be hacked, it couldn't be stolen, it couldn't be, you know, the paper money can be confiscated, it could be used it could be stolen in different ways and, you know, counterfeited. And, you know, this whole thing is coming on the heels of the fact that, you know, you're not a lot of press on this, but that there is, you know, just what happened shouldn't have happened. I mean, if you're leaking Bitcoins, right, and you can't find them and there's some kind of hole, wouldn't you basically, you know, shut down the hole? I mean, how hard is that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Put on some additional security?
Don't know. It's a flawed system, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I've never been a big Bitcoin fan.
Mm. Well, this week is a big week because it is the beginning of a month, and in the beginning of every single month, we have the jobs data that comes
out. Yeah.
So at the end of this week, we have the big number. Now, starting tomorrow, we have the ADP payrolls number coming out, which is the private payroll, which is, if you think about it, is a pretty good way to track payrolls because you look at the company that has a tremendous amount of payrolls that are tracked. And you can find out really much closer what's actually happening than these estimates and these crazy small groupings that happen.
Yeah, ADP owns the market.
Yeah, there's a few others. Actually, there's a company right here. I don't know if you heard of them. Ultimate Software.
No,
they're reasonably big company. These were breakaways from ADP years ago. It turns out, as a matter of fact, when I first started the business back in the '80s, there was this office building that we had an office, and on the bottom floor also was this company called Ultimate Software. And they were growing and all that. I was moving my office, and they were taking over each of the offices in this building. And I was moving my office, so they were going to take mine over. And my office wasn't ready yet, so I had to stay for a little while. And I talked to the guy. This guy's named Scott, CEO. I said, Scott, do me a favor. I need to kind of stay for an extra month or so. No problem. We'll just work around you. So I actually had my office, my area that I needed, just a smaller area just to kind of keep it compressed for a month. I was inside their offices for like a month and change while they were like building out and all this stuff is going on, and it's cabling and building out their technology. Well, they went public, and they have a beautiful building not too far from me and taking over more and more buildings and growing exponentially.
Yeah, from May 13th, from May 2013 to today, they've gone from $95 a share to close today at $168.
Wow. Wow.
Should have bought some stock while they were
there. Yeah, I should have gone to work for him. The nicest guy in the world, this guy Scott, too. Nice, nice fella. And
at one point in around 2003, it was selling for $2.
Yep.
That's beyond the 10-bagger.
Yeah.
That's almost a 100-bagger.
Yep. Wow. I remember when they built a building out here, we didn't have a lot of, when this area that I live in called Weston was being built and built up, there wasn't a lot of, really no offices. And I think they spent like $40 million at the time on their office, their first office out here. And they were like, oh my God, that's pretty substantial. But they've done a nice job, really nice job. Very good at community service, really good company, good people, really good people.
Huh.
But and obviously performing well, right?
Yeah, it looks like it to me.
Yep. So what's their market cap right now?
Let me take a look. Key statistics. Looks like it's 4.5. Actually, the enterprise value is 4.57. Market cap, 4.71 billion.
Wow.
So they're actually, well, considering they're still kind of small. But price at 168 has got a P.E. ratio of 67.
Oh, do they really? Wow.
So they must be on a growth tear.
And what is ADP?
I don't know. ADP's nothing like, won't have this PE ratio, I wouldn't think. ADP.
Looking it up, they're priced at $78. And no, they're going to be a much bigger company. I think market cap $37
billion. Yeah, which is where these guys are headed.
Right.
PE ratio still high at 22. So this is a big bit. This is a, well, with the unemployment being what it is and all the rest, it's a, everything's got to grow.
Right.
Can't go the other way.
Right.
Or actually it can, but let's hope it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have at the end of the week a payroll number. Now, estimates for the ADP are 155,000 added to the payrolls. Last month it was 177. Now, there was a time that ADP and the BLS numbers were, you know, they run in, they're correlated, but not really that close lately. And we saw, for example, last month where they saw it said 177,000 hires. We saw that the private, just comparing apples to apples here, the private payrolls on the BLS number was, let's see, private payrolls, 142. So, okay, a little bit different survey. But the actual number for the total came in at 113 for last period. That was a disappointment on the jobs. You know, we're looking for the 200s these days as a good number. But the unemployment rate is expected to be 6.6% and holding from what it was last, and 150,000 hires on the BLS, again, up from 113,000 last month. So we'll see what happens there. That's going to be on Friday morning, and that's obviously, maybe not obviously, but a market mover. As a matter of fact, if you look at the importance rating of the BLS number, you know, how important is this? It's very important. Mm. It's the biggest one. So the thing is, so let's kind of just kind of get in the heads of investors for a second. So let's say that we get a really good number. You know, you get a number like, let's say that the unemployment rate stays at 6.6 or so. Don't forget, 6.5 was the original number by the Fed that they said if we get to 6.5 and an inflation rate of, I think, 2% or something like that, then, you know, that's the end of the stimulus. That was the original discussion Maybe not. Now we're at 6.6. Let's say we get to 6.5. Or even stay at 6.6. Close enough. And we get, let's say, not 150,000 hires. Let's say 225. You know, something crazy. 250. So what happens? Well, you can look at it two ways, right? The first thing is that investors will say, wait a minute, stimulus is really going to be, you know, closing up here. I mean, the Fed is tapering already. This is really, you know, you can't, not going to see anything here that's going to cause them to slow down on the stimulus, even though, you know, they've talked about keeping this going forever. So an investor, you know, you probably see a drop to the markets on a really good print. And then you have the other side of it where the rest of the world looks at it and says, wow, unemployment, all that's getting much better in the U.S. The economy is really firing well. And, you know, GDP, even though it was lower the second time we saw last week, GDP was expected to be, I think, 3.6. And it came at 2.5, I think it was. Well, let me rephrase that. It was 3.6 the first read, and it was 2.5 the second read. So it was a 1% cut in GDP, almost, you know, 25% reduction in the original estimate. I think that's a pretty substantial number when you think about the whole economy of the U.S. But it was a little bit worse than anticipated. That's the second reading. Usually what we've been seeing is that we have a much better reading the second and third. But so we have a situation where, you know, let's say that hires are really good and all that. So you'll see a drop, and then probably by the end of the day, they'll, you know, do their best to pick it up, make it positive, or do something with it crazy. Who knows? Because, you know, the rest of the world looks as good. Now, on the other hand, let's say that we have, again, 6.6% unemployment rate, but 100,000 hires, much lower than anticipated. What happens then? What happens then is the dollar drops, bonds are bought, because they believe that the Fed's going to come in with maybe keeping stimulus a little bit longer. And by the end of the day, it may fade a bit because the rest of the world says, wait a minute, maybe there's some weakening. And, you know, you have to think about the markets in Asia opening up Sunday night. So just watch that. It should be a very interesting situation. I don't know what happens if we get right on. That's a good question.
That's another good question. So I'm looking at the shadow stats, which always brings me to shadow stats when you start talking about employment. It's leveling off a little bit, the real unemployment number, which is seems to be hovering around 23%. The other two are down, the fake ones. And the consumer inflation,
What are they saying about that? Yeah.
Is, well, it shows nice numbers. The government shows nice numbers. The shadow stats numbers are around 5%. It's 5% is the SGS alternative 1990 based inflation numbers are up. We have 5% inflation rate, which I think people sense when they go out there and bitch about, I don't understand how there's such low inflation. Everything is all cost more. Hmm. Yeah. Well, it does. That's why.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm just reading the news here, by the way. Hey, by the way, what's going on with websites lately? You know, you used to get into a website and maybe a flash would show up on the screen and wait a little while to load and then you get some kind of little flash thing going on in the corner.
Yeah.
Now you got a whole page with a really cool graphic.
Crap going on.
But you can get a really cool graphic that's almost like a movie and it loads instantaneously.
Yeah.
We tried to see what that was, whether it was Flash, what it was. It was a PNG sprite. You know what that means?
Yeah.
Is that?
Could be.
What is that?
The new file structure is PNG, does all kinds of cool stuff. Mm. I mean, the things that have changed in the websites, generally speaking, if they're super modern, and if this isn't done right, it's a complete disaster. And I think half the websites that are out there are crap. I mean, it's worse than ever. Is JavaScript. It's got JavaScript everywhere.
Right.
I mean, that's why when you roll over something, a bunch of things show up and there's menus going left and right and they skimming in there up and down and things are doing all kinds of crazy things because the whole page is just loaded with JavaScript because everyone's coding JavaScript pages now. It's the thing to do.
Hmm.
And it's become very annoying, I think, because most of the stuff is illegal. I mean, what I mean by that is they're not doing it right.
Hmm.
And so you end up with all kinds of issues.
Right. By the way, I'm reading the news right now. Flexcoin shuts after Bitcoin stolen from its bank.
Well, interesting.
That's number two. also, a couple other things that are going on that I thought were interesting is Japan is pumping up. Excuse me, China is pumping up their defense spending by 12%, which is always makes us, I think, feel a little bit uneasy.
Yeah, it's not that high anyway,
right? And they're also, at the same time, boosting the military, declaring war on pollution, which, what a good idea
declaring
that is.
War on what?
Pollution.
Oh, well, they better.
Yeah. Well, you can't even breathe over
there. If it's anything like the war on drugs, that means it's not going to work out.
Right, exactly. Let's see here. I wanted to look at, there was one other thing I was looking at here that was, I thought, interesting. And then we can go over to the stocks in a moment. Marijuana decriminalization, U.S. Capitol passes council. So we're going to have not only the crazy, but we'll also have the stoned now in D.C.
It's about time.
Yeah, I mean,
they're stoned anyway, so let's be realistic.
I think it will make them a little bit less edgy, you know what I'm saying? Kind of.
It might help.
It can't hurt. I mean, let's be honest, you know? I mean, it can't hurt. Can't hurt, can it?
No.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, two things. First of all, President Obama came out with a budget today, which supposedly is just not going to fly. A lot of things that they're increasing cost to airline passengers, to the wealthy. There's going to be more money for, you guessed it, education and for lower income and for infrastructure. The one thing you got to give this guy credit for, he does not change his story. I mean, it's just,
he has a list checklist.
Right. We got to talk about, let's see, infrastructure. We also have to talk about the financial differential between the haves and the have-nots and all of that. Then we also have the news that insurers, the Obamacare losses may cost the U.S. about $5.5 billion. So that's not terrible. Right? maybe. Anyway, so that's about all I have on that. There's some other things that are going kind of interesting about new driverless trucks that are going on. Richard Branson is his new island. He has massive amounts of animals going on in there, turning into.
Oh, he's got a Jurassic Park going on.
Yeah, what is that? It's not really Jurassic Park, for God's sake.
How does this guy have time to do anything? He must be a lizard. He apparently doesn't sleep.
No. Does he need it?
I guess not.
Yeah. Hmm. So the other thing is, let's see here. I was going to mention. Oh, JCPenney, by the way. I don't know if you watched that stock recently.
No, I wish.
It was, you know, in the bottom. It looked like it was going out of business. They came out with
kind of missed the boat on that one. We picked it last year.
Yeah, well, you would have probably kept losing, losing, losing until all of a sudden it turned around here. But what's interesting is they came out with an announcement that they're no longer going to be giving same-store sales guidance. And seems investors like that.
What does that mean?
In other words, usually they'd come out with, okay, month to month, what the same store sales are, just like every other company. You know, how's it going? What's the comparisons, et cetera? Since we can get an idea of how they're selling, what's happening, they're not going to be supplying that anymore or giving that.
So what are they going to do?
Well, they'll just give their regular earnings like any other company. I mean, most companies, Microsoft doesn't give you same sales, sales on a monthly basis and updates. They give you the quarterly earnings.
Oh, okay.
Right. No. But most of the retailers, if not all of them, give you a regular update and you see what's going on in the sales and what they're buying and what's happening, and they're just not going to do it.
Well, doesn't hurt the stock.
Right. And they're not going to, I think they're not going to give, is it that, or they're also not going to give estimates? There's something that, I think that's suspending guidance. Maybe that's what it was. I'm sorry. Maybe that's what the deal was. They're not going to give guidance anymore because they obviously are having trouble providing it. So companies come out and say, hey, you know what? We made 32 cents and on 500 million. And next quarter we foresee making 28 cents or whatever the number is, 45 cents, whatever it is. So they're not going to be doing that. So, I mean, you know, I think that's good because now they'll keep things shrouded a bit more. It's going to be that much harder to pinpoint how things are going for them either way. But the stock seems to be liking it. It's back up to $8. I mean, where was the stock? The stock was, let's go back and what's the year to date here? It was as low as, what is that? $6, $6.50. So that's a pretty good run for the last 5 days. It's up 47%.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Not a bad return in those few days, huh? Even with this being a problem. Anyway, so let's head on over to the stocks and take a look at what's going on. Actually, a couple of interesting things. Obviously the markets have done much better. And we had that sell-off yesterday, and there was actually a nice day on Friday last week, and it came in. But the big winner right now is OPCO Health.
There you go.
Which is the insider buying by Phil, up 21.5%. Dicom Industries, up 4% today and up 11% overall. Fui Films.
It's a penny stock that I'm following.
Up 10% today, down 3% on that, but Hopwalk Digital is just not going anywhere. Up, down 1%. American Eagle Outfitters actually doing much better. A lot of concern over the retailers with this whole weather issue. Not all. Columbia Sportswear and the other companies like Under Armour are doing very well. But it seems that some of the smaller guys are also doing okay. Much better than expected, let's put it that way, after they were having some real problems. Up 7.5%. My natural gas play is up 7.5%, which probably... Let me think about this. No, it's not at the stop yet. Down 8% today, but still up 7.5%. So it was up as high as about 15, 18%.
Yeah, you were doing good. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was good timing on that. Dust is not doing so well. Actually, it was up a bit.
It's just not even doing anything. It's just dead money.
Well, right now it was doing very well for a little bit. It was kind of creeping up higher and all that, and then gold turned around. It's amazing the change in overall sentiment on gold this year compared to last year.
Yeah, it is amazing, and I don't like using the word amazing.
Which, by the way, is also interesting that, you know, you see a market that has a lot of resilience and all that, and you think that the Fed is slowing down, dollar should be going up, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, gold is still rising. And if there is all this optimism, you know, why is gold rising? You know, gold is usually a safety play.
We talk about this incessantly.
Yep. Okay. We won't talk about it anymore.
I'm just saying because it just has never, it hasn't panned
oh,
out.
Oh, good. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it. Caterpillar's kind of hanging in there. I'm still kind of very interested in to see what they're going to have in their next earnings. You know, they really haven't shown anything that's that dramatic, and the earnings were pretty awful last time. But the stock keeps on rising because, of course, it's part of the Dow Jones. So you get that lift on the Dow, and people are just buying it. It just naturally lifts Caterpillar as well. Same thing with IBM. IBM is off by 8% on my short, and this is after they came in with terrible numbers. That was down at 172. We picked as 186 right now. And still, I'm having a troubling time trying to figure out what this company does and what they have, you know, benefiting them. So Global Brass and Copper Holdings, whatever that is. Big sellers here. Big sellers or big buyers? I wrote big sellers. I wonder why we're to that. Maybe there's buyers internally. Up 1.25%. And then we got El Paso Pipeline, probably with some of the natural gas issue.
We're waiting.
Yeah. Proto Labs down 6%. Twitter, I got 2.8% on the positive side there. And yeah. Liquidity Services hanging around, not doing much. Now, just to mention that this is not an offer to buy or sell any security, and obviously not recommendation either. For you, this is just a game that we play. These are all can be found on live updating during the day over at dhunplugged.com, where you'll be able to find this and other goodies there as well. The other one, you got stopped out on Yahoo. You had a short on Yahoo and it got stopped out. You actually saw a lot of the these tech companies and the online doing much better, but you had the idea that, hey, you know what? The CEO, who was the poster child for turnarounds, that has not been turning this company around by any, you know, initially did, but not at the level it was supposed to.
Still, I think there's still a short here opportunity coming up.
Okay, well, we will watch.
But not now. Apparently not now.
So, do you have any picks for this particular?
Yeah, I do. I've got one pick. Another. This is huge insider director. Part of some club or something. Not sure what's going on with this company. I'm not a big fan of the sector. But its symbol is DVA.
DaVita?
DaVita.
Oh, this is a big buy. Let me tell you something. This is actually interesting, this company. So DaVita is a dialysis company, right?
Among other things.
Now, we talked about this about a year ago. First of all, Buffett is a big buyer of the stock. Okay? But DaVita, now, you have to understand, dialysis, obviously, is important in certain areas because, you have kidney issues and diabetes that are really spreading dramatically, in particular in third world countries. India, as an example, has an extremely high level of diabetes, and they don't have the ability to really fight it very much. So their genetics, I guess, are not really capable of eating the same kind of food that we are, and they've westernized a lot of their eating and all that, and there's all sorts of other things in the food. Well, bottom line is that these countries are really in need of these kind of dialysis units, or they have to have amputations, the people. So DaVita has really been, unfortunately, doing very well.
Kind of a gruesome pick.
It's terrible. But why are you picking it, by the way? Insiders or?
Oh, huge. One guy in particular, he's buying tens of millions of dollars of this stuff.
Really?
Like on a weekly basis at full price. So there's something up.
Right.
Also, I'm looking at the recommendations. It's been upgraded since probably November of 2012. Deutsche Bank Capital, Deutsche Bank keeps reiterating, upgraded in April of 13, as buys with a target price of 136. So we'll see.
Right. Well, I was looking
at a doubler.
You know, I've looked at before this vapor companies, right? You're right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things that we saw...
I think there's a play there, too. I'm in total agreement with you on this theory.
Well, one of the things is interesting that... I want to get a price on something here. So one of the things that we saw the last couple of days was that Reynolds American, Reynolds, is symbol RAI, is potentially looking to buy Lorillard. Now, Lorillard is Salem, I believe it is. They do a lot of menthol. But But they've also done a big job recently buying up the, what are we calling them? E-cigarette companies, right? The e-cigarette companies, like the company called Blu, which is the largest seller of e-cigarettes, they bought that. They have that name. And I think they did this because of defensive moves as well as, you know, opportunity. Well, there's not that many plays out there. You know, there's not that many companies that you can actually buy that are publicly traded. One of the ones that we like is Vapor Corp, VPCO. Very volatile, but because there is this potential for a buyout, you know, one of these days something's going to happen here, or, you know, they're just going to keep on growing and doing what they do. They have these things called these e-hookahs.
Yeah. So corny.
And the e-cigs, they have their own thing. There's also a few other brands, actually.
Interesting chart.
Yeah, I mean, it was down in the fives, and now it's back to seven, close to eight right now. I mean, I probably would have bought this a couple days ago.
As high as 10.
I would have bought, actually, Reynolds American, which is up 5% today and 5% yesterday on just the news. They're going to be buying Lorillard. I mean, so obviously the markets are...
Yeah, they rocketed.
Yep. And they're the buyer. They're the acquirer.
Right. That's interesting.
You know, and Lorillard also moved up. I think we had Lorillard on here one time, and we took it off because of the end of the year. You know, the end of the year came around, and we said, okay, we're not going to be buying that again. But Vapor Corp is something that I would put down there. And because this is also a volatile stock, I think we're going to put I'll put a 15% stop on it. So it's a possible buyout candidate.
Okay.
And
sounds reasonable.
Buyout, and we'll put a 15% stop because it is, you know, very volatile. And we got to kind of, you know, you're going to just get thrown out of this thing in one day. On a 15%, you can get thrown out of it too. But we'll put that in there. Vapor Corp, VPCO is the symbol. So I think those are a couple of good ones. And that's about it.
Sounds good.
That's about it. So I'll see you on the 11th. And, of course, if anybody does want to start sending me early birthday gifts, that's also fine. You can follow John on Twitter at TheRealDvorak. TheRealDvorak for all of his witticisms and his pithy commentary at 140 letters. By the way, do you think that... you think that Twitter's ever going to extend that beyond the 140? No.
No, I think, and I'm glad, I hope they don't.
Yeah. So
if you want something more, go over to Google Plus and you can yak your head off.
Okay. I'm Andrew Horowitz. Just one word, Andrew Horowitz at Twitter. That's my handle there. Make sure to follow that and check out, of course, DH Unplugged and also the Dvorak site, which is Dvorak.org/blog. And finally, this Tuesday coming up, every other Tuesday, I host a seminar webinar at 11 a.m. over at TradeStation.com. You can find out information over at TradeStation, or just look up TradeStation Horowitz webinar, or just go over to TheDisciplinedInvestor.com. We'll have some information there as well. And that's all I got, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.